Christmas time is here. Packers lost severe.
Hello, welcome to Packers in Law. Merry Christmas and a happy end of season to you. I'm Andy, the Packer noob, who's obviously feeling very blue.
And I'm Jake, the Packer veteran. Yeah, the Christmas season has started, no doubt about that, but also the normal season of getting excited about the playoffs for Packer fans has not started, unfortunately, and may never start this year based on recent games that we have witnessed, Andy.
If only we had Khalil Mack. We'd be Super Bowl contenders.
If only. Obviously the Packers played the Vikings last Sunday. Ended up losing that game 24-17. The first thing I have in the notes here, Andy, did not change from the Seahawks game. In the Seahawks game, the first thing I wrote was, Packers start strong, can't finish the deal. I had that same phrase written for the Vikings. They were up 14-3 in this game, only ended up scoring three more points the rest of the entire game. Offense was really kind of shut down after halftime. First quarter, especially, they've been really moving the ball well. Offense looked pretty good, all things considered. You know, we didn't have Cobb, we didn't have Jermaine Nelson's on IR, but you know, even players, we'll talk about injuries as well because we lost a lot of players in this game. But offense looked pretty good, and the defense was doing enough. And then in the second half, it all just kind of went out the window.
Yeah, I can't really add anything you're saying except it's the same old script we've been talking about for, it seems like, forever. But definitely for the past couple weeks, for sure, a really good start. I mean, we were talking very optimistically after that first quarter, and then just like nothing happened or went the Packers way, as you said, many injuries. It was just looking back at it, it's such a frustrating game, and I do think we differ on this a little bit. I think the Packers playoff chances are just about gone. I mean, I think you agree with that, but you're optimistic that they can still do something. I think it might be the time to see what we can start talking about next year and seeing some positions and maybe what we need in the offseason. We don't have to talk about that yet. There is still a small chance. I think we have a 3% according to
3% chance according to Pro Football Focus. Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance, but it's pretty slim, and I think even more slim than it has been in recent years, because I know we've seemed to be here before, but this is not a good place to be.
Right. I did tweet at the end of the game against the Vikings that I feel like a lot of people are going to compare the situation the Packers are in now to 2 years ago, 2016, which we all know is run the table. I feel like it's different, and as I said in my tweet, I feel like it's a bad different. It's worse. Again, we have a 3% chance to make the playoffs. Now, I agree with you. I mean, the chances are slim and almost none. I won't say none because, again, the Packers do have a history of riding the ship and turning around and getting help. I mean, especially if you talk about 2013 when Rodgers was hurt and it seemed like there was no way the Packers were going to get into the playoffs, and then basically the Detroit Lions forgot how to play football for a month and a half, and the Packers were able to sneak in by beating the Bears, but we've talked about that in the past. But yeah, it seems like it's not, I'm not gonna say it's over because it technically is, mathematically it's not over yet, but it's close. And I mean, really what has to happen now is, I mean, I'm sure everyone's heard it now, but obviously the Packers have to win all their games, unless every other team decides to again forget how to play football, and then they need a lot of help
because they're winning all their games, because it's to what, 9-6-1, I think.
9-6-1,
which is not. I mean, 9-7 teams do make the playoffs, and yes, we're a little better than 9-7. But like Jake's saying, a lot of help.
Right, and there are those who are saying that once a second place team in a division gets to 10 games winning, so basically when one of the two wild card teams gets to 10 wins, that might about seal it up for the Packers. Now, I did see a couple of projections saying that what the Packers exactly would need, that, like, you know, the Vikings would need to lose two of their remaining games, the Bears need to lose two. And those teams aren't playing good games. I mean, for example, we'll talk about this in Instant North Watch, but the Vikings are going to be playing the Patriots this weekend.
In Foxborough.
That's no cakewalk for sure, as the Packers found out earlier this month. So, again, it's not over. There's still, you know, obviously we need a lot of things to bend our way. I'm not even saying that, like, we should be thinking the Packers can get into the playoffs and do some damage, because, I mean, the way this team plays, who knows? Especially if you had to play any road games, which 0-6 on the road this year, not so great. You know, and obviously if you're a wild card team, you don't get to have a home game. Although the last time the Packers were a wild card team, or at least the last wild card team that made the Super Bowl. But again, there's obviously lots of differences between that last year and or that year and this year. So again, it's not over yet, but it's just about there. And I just want to talk about. So, obviously, we said the offense saw in the second half, and this is something I was talking about with my dad was that it seems like other teams are making better second half adjustments mm-hmm. than we are. Like, it seems like we got a good thing going, and then the second half, especially offensively, we just seem to stop scoring or moving the ball, or both, as the case was against the Vikings. So I don't know what's up with that. Again, I know everybody's McCarthy's seat is very warm, and I mean, yeah, I think if would you agree with me, Andy, if the Packers do not make the playoffs, as small a chance that may be right now, the Packers don't make the playoffs, then McCarthy will not be back next year.
I certainly hope not, and I would say no. And in fact, I could even say even if they make the playoffs and do what probably is the most likely, if they make the playoffs, kind of maybe win one game, but probably just kind of stumble out of the playoffs, I even think at that point there is going to be serious heat. And if there, it looks like anyone is available that especially Aaron Rodgers might want or ownership might want or some, yeah, when I say ownership, obviously I mean like the higher ups.
Right.
Obviously there's one single owner.
Right.
I understand that.
I myself am a Packers
owner. Someone in the front office is what I mean. Someone that they like. I even think in that situation, they'd be looking for a new team. I think this team is just, and I think it was like this last year, it's just stale. It seems like there's no new ideas. There's nothing exciting. Even the new defensive coordinator, Patine, like nothing really exciting is happening there. I know it's Patton, but I like to say Patine. It just seems very stale, and it's sad to see Aaron Rodgers have to go through that. Now, I do agree on a couple of articles, and we're probably going to talk about this eventually, that Rodgers is not faultless in this failure of a season so far. But that said, I do think a new coaching staff could go a long way to helping rejuvenate the final chapter of Rodgers' career.
Yeah, and talking about those articles, like there was an article that we posted to our Facebook and Twitter, the Packers and Law accounts, talking about how, you know, McCarthy has definitely earned his share of the blame this season, but Rodgers, everyone's saying that, you know, his offense is stale and everything, but Rodgers a lot of times won't execute the plays, you know, as they're diagrammed, which in some cases, as he details in the article, have led to plays happening where a conversion could be had pretty easily, according to the screenshots and the videos that were shown. But Rodgers just didn't throw the ball there for whatever reason. I don't know if he didn't see him, if there was pressure, or he just decided he wanted to go further downfield. Or the reason may be, you know, he's definitely earned his share of the blame. And so part of me was wondering why this week, why we're so fixated on the fact that it's, you know, McCarthy's fault and McCarthy has to go and, you know, it's not for Aaron Rodgers. And I think the obvious reason for that is, you know, we just signed Aaron Rodgers to a huge contract. We know from Rodgers' absences in the last, you know, 4 years, like the 2013 season and then last year, we know that when Rodgers is out of the game, that's when the Packers really start to fall off a cliff. So we're not going to blame him because we know that he's the best player we have. He's, you know, maybe the most talented quarterback in the league.
We've seen us without him.
Yeah, we've seen us without him, and it's not good. Whereas if we lose McCarthy and get some health with Rodgers, then suddenly you're changing up the whole dynamic of the relationship between the coach and the quarterback. We don't know what that brings, and we're more receptive to that change because we don't know. We all think that could be good because we've seen Rodgers be good with McCarthy, but we haven't seen McCarthy be good without Rodgers. Rodgers or Favre, I should say. So I think that's why McCarthy is getting the lion's share of the blame. And again, I'm not saying he's not totally blameless. He definitely is, but I do think he's getting probably more heat than he maybe deserves, and that Rodgers, you know, again, has not been flawless, as any of I both said. But just there's some interesting articles out there. You can check out the one on our account. There's a couple other ones posted about just kind of the dynamic. And there's actually one that just posted recently about all the tensions, which has also kind of been an ongoing storyline, the tensions between McCarthy and Rodgers. And I think that, you know, maybe more than anything is another reason why, even if they do make the playoffs, and, you know,
it would have to be a stunning run in the playoffs, I think. Like maybe to the championship game or like Super Bowl, something like that to really save his job.
And again,
unless he has some real loyal, you know, people in the front office, which is possible, but I just don't see that happening.
It is. Yeah, I don't either. And, you know, it just seems like from everything we've heard and all the rumors, and I know not all rumors are true, obviously, but from everything we've heard this season, the way the season's gone, it sort of feels like it's time to, you know, the Rodgers-McCarthy partnership is kind of approaching its end.
It feels like we waited too long, right? I think you even said in an earlier episode, why didn't we do this last offseason if his seat was kind of this warm?
Right, and, you know,
especially with the defensive coordinator turnover, all that kind of stuff we've talked about.
Right. Well, I think the reason they didn't do it last year was because Rodgers wasn't around, and so it was, oh, we were just bad because Rodgers was hurt, whereas now it's looking like, oh, maybe that wasn't obviously that wasn't the whole problem. So, yeah, it did seem weird to kind of clean out the rest of the house and then keep him, but...
One massive cobweb, like, in your front door.
That's
probably a mean thing to tell him. He is a Super Bowl winning coach.
He is a Super Bowl winning coach.
I will say, though, to that one comment as far as, like, Rodgers having some of the blame, I agree with that. But I do also kind of push back that one of the major parts of being a high-level coach in a professional league is player management, right? Because Rodgers knows that. Obviously, he's an elite quarterback. Like, he can understand these things, but it takes an elite coach to get that out of great players. This happens a lot more in the NBA than the NFL, because NFL is a lot more scheme and particular play driven than the NBA is. Mm-hmm. But it's talked about all the time that these great guys like Popovich, you know, it's not that they're just like total masterminds with X's and O's. It's much more that they know how to get the best with what they have. And that just does not seem to be what McCarthy has been able to do the last couple seasons, even out of someone as great as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely plays into it. It just seems like I said, it just seems like this relationship maybe will be best if somebody moves on. We all know it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers, so the only other option, obviously, is for McCarthy to move on. And, you know, I like McCarthy as a person, and I've always said that I think – I never thought that he was a top-tier coach. Actually, this is another thing that Dad and I were talking about is that I think he's an above-average coach, and I can name a lot of coaches I'd rather have McCarthy – or I'd rather have – instead of McCarthy. I can name a lot of other coaches I wouldn't rather have than McCarthy, but he's not in the upper. He's not like Bill Belichick or Sean Payton, or, you know, even like maybe even a newer success story like Doug Peterson or, you know, any of those guys. So I think there's a potential. There is always the question of, well, if you get rid of him, then who steps in? Again, I think we need a younger, you know, offensive wizard that, you know, that seems to be the formula for success with guys like, you know, again, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, obviously in L.A., Matt Nagy in Chicago. And I know Andy Reid's not young, but he, you know, again, offensive mind. He's done a lot of great things with the Chiefs, especially this year with Mahomes and company. But, yeah, I mean, we can talk about that when the season's over. And we
Who's
know
the younger
sure.
Schottenheimer? Not Marty, but Brian?
Brian Schottenheimer. I think he is an offensive coordinator maybe in Washington. I'm not sure.
Yeah, for some reason that name popped to mind because I think he's known as sort of an offensive guy.
Yeah, he definitely is more of an offensive-minded coordinator. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's doing, but he'd be fine.
Like you said, we'll get to that door when we come forward. I actually just had a curious thought pop into my mind to ask you.
Okay.
And this is somewhat anathema, so you can purge me out of the room if this is a terrible question. So the Packers, if they don't do great this year, and of course this could totally be mute in a couple weeks, and we all hope it will be, but let's just say they don't make the playoffs this year, right? They win a couple, they lose a couple, they don't make the playoffs. So there's two losing seasons in a row. Do you see a world where they shake things up, next year doesn't work, and the Packers look, because you know all the talk is sort of like they haven't had the money since the Aaron Rodgers contract, do you see a world where those last 2 years of Aaron Rodgers' career, they sort of Peyton Manning Aaron Rodgers, get a lot of value for him and start the rebuild before he retires? Do you see a world where that happens? We would all hate it. I should say I as well would hate that. But, you know, let's say it's not a great team anyway. You have two more years left on that deal. It's a lot of money. And you trade him to the Jets or, I don't know, somewhere that will give you a lot of value for him. Probably not the Jets. I don't know why I said that. But you get draft picks. You get some cap room. Do you see a world where this happens?
I'll say I do. But I'll say that Rodgers' play would have to... Well, two things would have to happen. Rodgers' play would have to decline even more than apparently it had. I mean, I'm not saying he's declined. He's just having an off year. And obviously, he is older. He's going to be 35 in a couple days. But that would he would have to decline pretty significantly, even from where he is now. And again, we don't really know where he is now in terms of, you know, is this the new Rodgers or is this just kind of an off year? And two, the Packers would have to have... Basically, like the Colts 8 years ago, they'd have to have like an Andrew Luck, like a number one overall pick waiting in the wings, ready to go. Or somebody, at least somebody that they felt really high on. I mean, they're not doing this if DeShone Kizer is still the backup quarterback in 2 years. So those two things happen, sure. As much as I would be distressed about that, I could see it happening. I think those are two pretty big ifs. You know, this upcoming draft, the 2019 draft, is apparently not all that quarterback. There aren't a lot of great quarterback prospects from what I've read and what I've heard on the internet. But, yeah, like I said, if those things happen, sure, I guess it could happen.
This is probably coming from, to you know, let our listeners know, I'm a big LA Laker fan to again talk NBA, and they very famously gave Kobe Bryant a massive contract in his final couple of years, which didn't allow them to be competitive on the free agency market, and so they had three losing seasons in a row where they were awful, terrible. Mm. And I'm just curious if the Packers, we're starting to get to a place where we think of life post Aaron Rodgers, are we willing to sort of hang on and then sort of take 3 years of really being bad, which we haven't been for a long, long, long time. I mean, like, bad, bad. Not like this year, sort of middling, but, like, bad. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to think if there's another way to go about that. But that's far down the line. That probably just popped up because we're looking for stuff to talk about after a really tough loss.
And it's an interesting question. And, I mean, the Packers haven't had back-to-back losing seasons since before the Holmgren era. I believe it was 90-91 or 91-92 was the last time they had, you know, 2 years of sub-500 records. So this could be, you know, again, this could be a first that has, I think it hasn't happened in almost 30 years.
Wasn't it 90-91?
I think it was 90-91.
I remember because that would mean this is the first time in my lifetime.
That's right.
That this has happened.
So those of you who, you know, if you want to do the math, now you can figure out how old Andy is.
It's 27.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so, I mean, if that happens, yeah, it's an interesting question. Again, what was that, like with the McCarthy situation, we'll have to see when we get there, but unfortunately, with where we are in the season now, it's something to think about, so.
But let's try to end on a positive note. Jake, you know as well as I do that when we lose, we do the we lost but. What do you have for the we lost but?
Well, it's not anything super great, to be perfectly honest, but it is sort of humorous. So this week, due in part to the injuries, which we didn't really talk about, but Packers have more injuries, guys leaving. There's a ton of people. I'm actually for both teams this week against the Cardinals. There's a ton of people on the injury report. We're not really sure who's going to play or who's going to be ready. But because of all the injuries, the Packers signed an offensive lineman to the practice squad, and his name is Gerhard DeBeer. And yes, his last name is DeBeer, and that's D-E space B-E-E-R. And I just thought that was extremely humorous because what better person to play for the Packers than someone who has beer in their last name? Hopefully, I really hope he will see the field. I mean, I guess I don't hope that we get injured so that we get more injuries so that he has to, you know, be active. But I just kind of hope, you know, especially if we aren't in contention, that if we want to give him some playing time, that we get to see him actually, like, in a game, because that would be kind of funny. I don't know. Just trying to
lighten the mood.
Trying to bring a humorous note to this This tough game. The sad podcast on the last day of November. But yeah, so obviously Packers did lose that game against the Vikings. Are now 4-6-1, and again they have to win all the remaining games. And we'll talk about who the Packers are playing next in a second. But before that, Andy, let's go and check in on our NFC North compadres in NFC North Watch.
We'll have a blue NFC North Watch.
It will be blue, especially with everybody else winning except for the Lions, who played the Bears. So the Vikings obviously beat the Packers 24-17. Yeah, I kind of ruined it. So the Vikings are now 6-4-1 in second place in the division. As we said before, they will play the Patriots at Foxborough. That game it's not Sunday night, but it is the Fox game of the week. So
now you'll all have to be like me and be Tom Brady cheerer fans. There we go. That's what you call them.
Tom Brady cheerers.
Tom Brady cheer.
not fans, cheerers. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be a tough game for them. Moving on to the Bears. They played on Thanksgiving and they beat the Lions 23-16 without Mitchell Trubisky. They actually had Chase Daniels starting. I think Mitchell Trubisky is also not going to play in this upcoming game, from what I know. But who knows? That can change tomorrow or even before the game on Sunday.
What is it? Shoulder? Is that what it is?
I believe it's a shoulder injury, from what I've read. So anyway, the Bears are 8-3. They are on top of the division in the NFC North, and it just makes me go back to our preseason predictions where we were both kind of like, the Bears aren't going to be that good, and here they are, the best team in our division.
And they're good. Like, you watch them, and they're a solid team.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just,
Real good defense, you know, good receivers, a decent running game. Yeah, they're looking pretty solid. But anyway, they will play at New York, at the Giants, which, I mean, they should win that game, but who knows, any game on Sunday, you know, all that. We'll talk about that more later as well. And the Lions, as we just mentioned, they lost to the Bears on Thanksgiving, 23-16, so they dropped to 4-7. Only a half game behind the Green Bay Packers, and they will play their home against the Rams. So that obviously is no cakewalk. The Rams coming off that, you know, they were on bye last week, but they had that huge game against the Chiefs. That is going to be probably a blowout, but you never know. But anyway, the Packers, Speaking of trying to win games, they will be playing the Arizona Cardinals. And looking at the notes here, Andy, I was trying to find a compelling angle to talk about the Cardinals with. The bottom line is the Cardinals are not very good. They're last in the league in offensive yards per game. They are 19th in defensive yards allowed per game, but they're 26th in points allowed. They're starting a rookie quarterback in Josh Rosen, who, you know, as like most rookies, has shown really good moments and really bad moments. This team is still, I feel like, is pretty talented. They still have the ageless wonder, Larry Fitzgerald. They still have David Johnson, who's coming off of his wrist injury last year, who's, as of late, has been producing better. I've had him on one of my fantasy teams, and he was kind of a disappointment earlier this year, but has kind of turned it around.
How old is Fitzgerald? 38?
Oh, no. He's 34, I want to say. Really?
Yeah. Seems like he's been in the league forever.
He was drafted when I was in high school, which was a long time ago.
Out of when? Pitt?
He played for the Pittsburgh Pitt Panthers, as they say on Sunday Football. He's still around. And I feel like on defense, they also are still very talented. They still have Patrick Peterson. They still have Buda Baker, who's in his second year, who's kind of a interesting sort of jack-of-all-trades player. They have talent, but it has not translated into success on the field because I believe they're 2-9. You know, they're easily one of the three worst teams in the league, along with San Francisco and whoever else is that.
The third worst team in the league.
Oh, yeah, Oakland.
Oh, Oakland. Remember when we were talking about how exciting they were going to be in the preseason?
Yeah, with John Gruden back and that blew up in their face. But yeah, as I said before, lots of injuries on both sides of the ball. Like, for example, Buda Baker and Larry Fitzgerald both did not practice yesterday. Packers also have lots of injuries. Mike Daniels is still out. We don't know about Kentrell Bryce. They signed another safety to the active roster this week as well. Really, in the secondary, you know, Kevin King is still dealing with a hamstring.
In hindsight, is that Ha Ha Clinton Dix trade pretty bad? I mean, I know you can't predict injuries, but yikes.
I mean, maybe. The thing is, in Washington, I feel like he actually hasn't even played that well so far, which I guess having a body is better than nothing, but again, he was going to leave anyway. They weren't going to re-sign him, so I kind of like the fact that they got something for him instead of just letting him walk, but it does look kind of rough now because of the injuries we're dealing with, so I don't know. I still think it was probably a good trade in the end, but right now it just looks bad because of the injury bug biting us once again very hard on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, anyway, going back to the Cardinals, Andy, I just feel like, I mean, the Packers obviously are not having a great season. Cardinals are having a worse season. The Packers need this game. They're not mathematically eliminated yet. They still have, you know, if nothing else, pride to play for. It's a home game. It's only their second home game in the last six games. To me, that means there's no reason the Packers should lose this game. They're the better team. Cardinals are out of the playoff picture. They don't have anything to play for other than watching Josh Rosen develop into what they hope is going to be a good quarterback. That's just what it comes down to. There's no reason the Packers should lose.
No, it's not really a sexy game either. Do we get this game in Minnesota?
I think this game actually will be on TV here.
That's surprising.
Yes.
It could be in a slot where there's not bringing it, but like, Packers on a down year and the Cardinals on a normal Cardinal year, just kind of a boring game. Good at that Lambeau. I actually do love pulling back the curtain on Jake's notes because I love how he puts this. This is his thoughts on these games. Well, no, he just gave you his actual thoughts. This is how he summarized them. Versus Cardinals. Cardinals aren't very good. Lots of injuries on both sides. No reason the Packers should lose. I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
They should win this game. And I actually see this as maybe a chance for a Buffalo game part two, where like it's not a very good team and everything comes together and finally put together a full performance. And that, for a couple weeks after that, that sort of propelled the Packers to, I think, play better. And then we've sort of come down from that
high. Yeah.
I hope that this is like a really powerful performance that can really get the locker room sort of amped up to finish the season strong.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I was reading some things from Packer fans on Twitter. Apparently, tickets for this game are pretty cheap. So that I briefly entertained the idea of, man, maybe we should drive to Green Bay this week and actually go to the game.
How cheap?
But I didn't actually look, but usually that means like, I don't know, 40, 50 bucks. But again, I haven't looked, so those are just spitballing numbers off the top of my head. But I understand it. I mean, it's two sub-500 teams. And I'm sure the Cardinals fans aren't going to travel to Green Bay in December to, you know, leave warm Arizona to go to cold Green Bay and watch their bad team play. So, feels like you could probably, if you're in the Green Bay area or, you know, close by, closer than us, we're about, you know, 4 or 5 hours away from Green Bay. If you want to go to this game, you could probably get a decent ticket. And even if you just go and, you know, I know scalping's technically illegal, but if you know somebody who's trying to get rid of tickets, hit them up because they might be willing to give you pretty decent seats. But anyway, so again, I think the Packers should win this game pretty easily. I do think it's actually still going to be kind of close. Like, the Packers might give up, I guess close in the sense of they might give up some garbage points at the end. I have the Packers winning 30-20. That's just because, again, our defense has so many injuries that I feel like the Cardinals might be able to stay in the game because of that. But, again, with what's on the line for the Packers versus what's on the line for the Cardinals and the fact that it's a home game and the fact that they had, you know, even just looking at the quarterback position, they had the better team pretty substantially. No reason the Packers should lose.
What do you? I'm going to say 31-14.
31-14. Yep. Cardinals win?
Yes. No, Packers got it. 31-14. Like I said, I think this is a potential chance for them to put it all together and feel good about themselves. And a good way to start off sort of this slightly less hard half of the season, or more quarter of the season.
Right. Well, it's the last five games, so a little bit more than a quarter. And the Packers actually have the easiest schedule. I don't know if it's in the entire NFL, but they were talking about this during the Viking game. Maybe just the NFC North or just the NFC, but they do have one of the easiest schedules left in terms of the records of the teams they're playing. So, you know, again, that we'll see how that plays out, but hopefully we'll get a good victory with a stepping stone here against the Cardinals at home, because, again, we haven't played at home in a long time. Well, I guess a couple weeks. But
and that's it's very doable to beat the Cardinals. If they don't, McCarthy should be fired on the spot.
Well, you never know. It might come to that. And just one more thing, actually, I wanted to kind of mention, Andy. You know, you look at, so we just finished the quote-unquote murderer's row part of the schedule this year. And you look at the games as a whole, obviously the only game we won, the one against Miami, was a pretty solid victory. You know, they played pretty well for the most part. Every other game they lost, I mean, it was all road games. So, again, the Packers have won on the road this year, which is concerning. Usually, if you want to win a championship, you got to, you know, at least be .500 on the road. You look at all those games, the Packers were competitive in all of them. Again, this goes into the whole, like, well, all these games are so frustrating because it's never felt like we were out of any of them. But yet, we keep losing these games because lack of execution or better halftime adjustments or what have you. So I think that's another reason why we're not, maybe some Packer fans aren't willing to give up the ghost just yet. Because, again, we played, you could argue, four of the best teams in the league. You know, L.A., New England, Minnesota, and I guess maybe Seattle's not one of the best teams, but I'd say they're probably B-tier right now.
Especially in their current form, though. I mean, we hit them at their high spot.
Right. They definitely turned it around. So I feel like, you know, they played four, obviously, I would say, really good teams and they, on the road. And they were competitive in every single game. It wasn't that they got blown out. I mean, the Patriots game, I guess, got away from them at the end. But hopefully they can take, you know, whatever moral victories they got in those games and turn them into some actual results starting this Sunday against the Cardinals. So, folks, that's going to do it this week for Packers in Law. As always, you can find us on packtothefuture.com. All the past episodes are on there. This episode will be up there, obviously. Other stuff, there's articles. There's one article about coaching, possible coaching replacements for Mike McCarthy. If you're feeling real, you know, grim about the end of this season, you might want to go read that to possibly give yourself some hope.
It is fun to read, kind of like, oh, I wonder what he would do with this team.
Yeah, it is fun to read. It is kind of interesting to, yeah, read names and kind of envision what they would do or, you know, how the team would look. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff there. Go check it out at packtothefuture.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Packers in Law. We post links and articles, and I live tweet during the Packer game.
Jake is a great live tweeter of the game, so
well,
log on for that.
Thanks for saying that.
He's Midwest, so he won't say that. I will say it. It's very good, and you should add that to your Twitter diet while you watch the Packers play and hopefully win the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday. Win, beat. Beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
Beat grammar.
Beat them.
Hashtag grammar, as they would say on Twitter.
Beat them real good. So yeah, that's it for this week, and we'll talk to you guys in the next one.